And welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you 2 indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Glauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week, we're doing Race the Sun and Momodora Reverie Under the Moonlight.
Yes, number 4 in the Momodora series.
Yeah, but the first one to actually, like, get anyone's attention, as far as I can tell.
Whose attention? Like, I haven't seen anyone talk about this game.
Yeah.
Other than Brian Wade, who gave it to us.
Yes. So thank you, Brian. He gave us both gift copies. And thanks. We'll get into how good that game is, but there's some spoiler stuff there. So let's get into Race the Sun first, as that's a little more straightforward.
Yeah, and so Race the Sun, and we're a little bit behind. Oh, before we get started, just real quick, I apologize for any kind of room noise. I have a fan running. We are in the middle of a weird Portland springtime heat wave.
Terrible.
Right now, and it'll get cool again. It's Portland, but like we have a week of 90 degree weather, so
yeah, it's not
it
fun.
It's hot. So I apologize, but I don't want to. I'll be happier if I'm not sweating.
Yeah.
So Race the Sun. We're a little bit behind on this one, but it's a potato game.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Race the Sun, Nick.
Sure. So, as you said, we're a little bit behind. It came out in December of 2013. It's from a developer named Flipfly LLC. And Race the Sun is a single player kind of infinite runner racing game where you're always going forward, and the point is to essentially last as long as you can while collecting these little triangles for points. And sort of the cool mechanical piece of that keeps you going is that you unlock things through sort of small achievements. There's always 3 up at any given point in time, and you're trying to reach these achievements of different sorts. And when you do, you unlock new features, new power ups, new ships, and all sorts of neat stuff.
Yeah, like a similar to a roguelike progression.
Yeah.
Like as you achieve these little goals, you're going to get little advantages that'll make it easier to achieve goals while you're doing this endlessly kind of iterative experience
mm-hmm.
as you're going to go through the same thing. It is, and the reason why it is your time limit or something. So the Steam page, their kind of blurb says it really well. Like you are a solar craft and the sun is your death timer.
Mm-hmm.
Hurtle towards the sunset at breakneck speed. So it essentially just, you are only able to live as long as the sun is out.
Right.
And, it is an endless runner version of the first level of Star Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much exactly.
Which is rad. Like you're stuck to the ground. So it's not exactly that. You can jump, you can't fly. Like you're kind of a glider.
Right.
But it takes a lot of influence from, Star Fox and then transposes that gameplay to like a flow based game,
mm-hmm.
like a Cannibalt
right.
or something like that, where it's just like, you just zone out and have like lights and sounds and get very like synesthesia
yeah.
out with it.
It's very pretty with very simple polygons and the lighting and graphics change as the sun goes down. And then you also get later on in the game transported to levels with totally different designs.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially the level complexity just gets harder and harder as you continue to progress further on. And the only way you'll keep catching up with the sun is if you manage to keep collecting power-ups that give you little speed boosts and catch you up with the sun a little bit.
Yes, yeah. And so you're collecting those things to get points, and then the other thing is obstacles. You can, if you get winged by an obstacle, you'll slow down, which is no good. But you can also, if you crash head-on into something, you'll crash and die and end your run.
Right.
So it is the dual kind of, games where it is about getting to the end of the level and also about getting the highest score.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that kind of dual difficulty,
right?
You know, like if you're not competitive, if you're not great at it, you can just play to survive,
right?
Like that's how I play, like Guitar Hero or Rock Band. I just want to get to the end of the song, and then if you want to go further, you can go for high scores and stuff. And it's really cool. Like I like it a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. It's something that's been on my radar for a really long time.
Yeah, it wasn't very much on mine, but you suggested it, and I had a lot of fun with it. It's very chill. It's fun to just sit down and go through a few runs. It doesn't take much out of you, and the runs are pretty short. And a lot of the achievements are kind of, you always kind of have 3 different degrees of difficulty. And so mm-hmm. you can kind of just keep gunning for the easiest ones and still manage to get that, that serotonin little jolt from unlocking cool stuff. So
It makes you feel like you're always making progress even when you're losing. So you fail forward. And some of the stuff that comes later is just, I feel like this game might have a like spoiler section if we were better at it. I watched some YouTubes of it, and the obstacles start spelling out words.
Whoa.
at some point, and I don't know what that is.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So there might be a story here that I don't know, because I'm not very good at this game.
I'm not very good either. And like you said that, you know, the little blurb on Steam says breakneck speed. Like, this game is fast as hell.
It is super fast. But it's cool though, because it's really well-tuned, right?
Yeah.
Like, it feels right. You know, like, this is the same way that Meat Boy feels, right? Like, somebody sat down and just like, I need to make the best feeling jump arc. Like, this feels like a glider. Like, you feel that kind of weightless sense of momentum and everything exactly the way that it should be.
And I love that little little barrel roll you get from switching from a hard left to a hard right or vice versa. That stuff is, it feels so slick when you're like zooming through obstacles, on a turn.
Yeah.
Like, almost always in the first level, there'll be some power up that's like between big cubes, and the only way to do it right is just be gunning it and just perfectly like cut fully to the left through it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It feels so satisfying.
Super satisfying. There's also a mechanic there that they do more with in later levels, from what I can see, where since you're solar powered, you also can't spend very much time in the shade.
Right.
And there are tunnels. So if you go under tunnels for too long, that can also fuck you over. And even in the first level, there's a long tunnel that introduces this kind of risk reward where you can go through the tunnel. It's kind of demanding. If you get to the end, you get a bunch of points.
Right.
But you are, you know, losing sun, so you can't crash a lot, or you'll stall out in there. And
if you luck out, there'll be a boost at the end and you'll have made up for the whole thing. But if there isn't, well, you just lost significant speed and time. So
how many stages did you make it?
I've made it to the fourth, I think. Okay. The fourth, including a portal. So I played five levels, but I was on the fourth of the standard levels.
Okay. Yeah, I've done a portal, and then I made it to the third.
Nice.
So I did. Yeah, I've not quite made it to the fourth. When the pillars are falling down, that gets me.
It's really hard once the obstacles start moving on you.
The blocks took me a while, and I got them. And then everyone's like, you know. Initially, I was just like, I'm just going to jump over these because if I have a jump saved up, because I hate these things.
Right.
But eventually you figure those out. But the pillars are harder for me.
Yeah. The ones where they're falling left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one is really hard, because you have to keep centered. And then I think it's purposely like perfectly timed where the last pillar, you cannot make that turn. Like, it's too close. So you have to break your brain to go, no, I'm going to go in the gap that was left by where it used to stand.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. It is really hard to get your brain to do it.
Well, because you're not operating with your brain. Like, it's a flow game, you know?
Exactly, so
you're just your hands.
Your muscle
and your
never
eyes.
Won't adapt fast enough.
Yeah.
You gotta force it a bunch of times until it finally works.
Yeah. Super cool though. Super pretty. Always on sale. Like, I always see this on even, I think there's an iOS version. I can see this playing really well on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is really cool and recommended if you like this kind of game.
I think. It looks like it's been down to 99 cents on occasion. So
yeah, and I'm sure it ends up in bundles too. I don't remember seeing it, but I'd be surprised if it was never in a bundle. It's an old indie game, so it means that if you wait long enough, it will be free for all intents and purposes.
Right.
And but it's also, you know, when we say it's good, it is really a pick up and play kind of thing. You don't sit down and be like, I'm going to play 3 hours of Race the Sun.
No.
Today. Like, you pick it up before bed because you were playing, you know, an RPG beforehand, and you want to get a little action in, you know, and then you can one more run it for a while, but eventually, like, you know, I eventually had to just kind of walk away.
Yeah. It's when you're stuck on Aldrich and you keep trying, and then,
Aldrich. I got Aldrich tips for you. I can give you in the spoiler section.
All right.
I've been Aldrich sherping people for a while, because that's my second favorite boss in that game.
That's the one I'm stuck at currently.
Yeah, so. It took me a long time, but by the time I beat him, like, I know that boss.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of thing.
All right.
But yeah, that's that is a Dark Souls 3 thing.
If you aren't catching that, sorry guys.
Moving on to Momodora Reverie Under the Moonlight.
Yeah, so Momodora is it's put out by a developer named Bomb Service, who has done, as we said, three previous Momodora games prior to this, and that I think are all freeware. So that's pretty rad.
The other ones look like Cave Story to me.
Yeah, they're a much smaller pixel art size, and that was sort of part of the reason why this one's paid compared to the other ones, is they spent a lot more time on the actual sprites and the animations evolved, and it is just gorgeous.
It is a really good looking game.
It is very pretty.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by how good looking this game is. It is real big sprites. Mm-hmm. In a well, one of the things, real quick, and I was just verifying this, so I was kind of stalling for time. Sure. is that they have a Patreon running, so this is the first one they were able to put money into.
Oh, cool.
Which is an interesting way for them for a game developer to run under Patreon rather than Kickstarter.
That is interesting.
You know, and it's they are making, you know, $240 per update to the game. So I haven't seen that funding model for a game, and that's interesting.
That is interesting. I did notice that just a couple weeks ago, they did put out a new update for this game. It came out, which we skipped over a little bit, but it came out March 4th of 2016, and it's already gotten a few updates since then with balance and bug changes and stuff. So so yeah, they're definitely dedicated to making sure this game is nice and clean and free of bugs.
Yes.
And good for you to play. So.
Yeah. So the way it looks, the closest thing it looks to me, and this is a really weird point of comparison that no one will get, but Codemaster NES games, there is a thing, a game called Quattro Adventure that I used to play a lot, and there was
I've never heard of this.
It is, it's similar kind of proportions to a couple of games that are in there. It looks a lot better than that. Doesn't use the NES like kind of limits
right.
or anything, but they're big pixels. It feels like,
yeah,
everything is big and not detailed, but like suggestive. Of things, and this is coming, like, I don't think that this is a experience that you have necessarily, but I came to this after not too long ago playing Salt and Sanctuary, which is the PS4 game that is Dark Souls 2D with the numbers filed off, you know.
Right.
It takes everything from Dark Souls and Symphony of the Night and puts them together. I had a lot of problems with Salt and Sanctuary, and this is, I haven't beat it yet, so I can't say for sure. It could like totally shit the bed,
right.
But I like it a lot more, and it's definitely aesthetically a lot better. It's prettier. It doesn't have this kind of like dumb flash animation looking character design. the music is not like butt chug rock, like, which is what happens in Salt and Sanctuary, which is a real bummer. The music's really good. It's like really charming, but it's also tough. Like, it is, this is a Souls-like.
Yeah.
It is, like...
It's definitely a Souls-like. And that comparison to Castlevania and Souls-like, this is definitely the inspiration for this game. It feels exactly like that, so...
It doesn't take everything from Souls. There aren't RPG elements, but it takes... And there's not a stamina meter, right. Which are principal kind of Souls things. But there is, pattern-based boss recognition and a dodge roll that's really important to implement.
Yes.
And then kind of scenarios, little screens where... you have to plan an approach. Like, the enemies are laid out in a way that cover each other, that have ambushes and the like.
Right.
So it rewards being, and there are traps and stuff. So it rewards being observant, and you're punished harshly for mistakes.
Yeah, really harshly.
Yeah.
Which I think might kind of be my one negative side of this so far is that spike traps are insta kills, and there's runs between, you know, bosses and different the bells, which are essentially your bonfires, right? So
yeah,
like, I've multiple times now just made the same mistake of rolling into a spike pit after completing some like mini fight twice, and I was like, god damn, why did I forget that stupid spike trap was there?
Yeah.
I had to do it all over again.
The spikes are not also, they're not optimized for color blindness. Like, there's not a high contrast for them, so the eventually I just don't go into pits at all, but like, it is hard for me to see where there are spikes.
I bet.
I don't like instant death in games at all.
Right. Yeah, me neither.
And it is, I think that's a bummer too. And there's a boss fight later in the game that kind of leans into that, that I think is kind of annoying. Like, it's totally doable. Like, you get to it and you're like, I know how to do this.
Right.
But then, you know, your dumb meat hands just make a mistake, you know, when you fall into the spikes.
Right.
So I don't like that part of it. But when you're actually fighting, like, the combat's really impeccable.
Yeah. It's
like
very slick.
Yeah. It feels really good. It's not complicated. You just have a 3-hit combo, and you have a like an omnipresent ranged weapon that gets a bunch of different upgrades.
Yeah.
But it is very like, the enemies have really clear tells that money that went into the animation is there to show you when to dodge.
Right.
And it works really well. Like, it's very rare that I feel like an enemy, like, I don't know when they're gonna do something.
Yeah, no, I haven't had that problem at all. I think the first problem with my kind of first boss wall that I hit was that I just wasn't using ranged enough. Like,
yeah,
I started to get the dodges down, and I'm just like, this is taking forever. And then, the second phase comes around, and there's even less windows to get hits in. And I was like, I have a bow and arrow. What am I doing? I could just stand back and be firing the whole time. So
yeah, and it doesn't do very much damage, but there are two bosses at the very least where that's like necessary, it feels like, to constantly hammer them with these arrows. And there's a lot of like cool tactical considerations in that too, because you can charge your bow and arrow to do more damage. And then I just got an upgrade that makes my arrows poisonous.
Oh, wow, nice.
Which is super cool, and I'm looking forward to trying that on a boss and seeing if they're immune to poison or not.
I spotted one that also lets your arrows go through enemies, do penetrating shots. So
yeah, I've not gotten that yet. It's super non-linear, so me and Nick both, neither of us beat it, but we both made a good amount of progress and saw different shit.
Yeah.
So that's a real plus for it. It feels good. One of the other big things, and I'm not turning this into the anti-Salt and Sanctuary cast, because like it's not like I had no fun with that game, but it doesn't have a map. So, and it is more complicated than this game.
Right.
So imagine this game without a map, Nick.
Yeah, I already got lost once. Like, yeah. If I didn't have a map, I would have been screwed.
It's a really misguided decision. And this game has a map, and it's really useful because you do that Castlevania thing where it's like, oh, there's a little hole in the floor here. Is this what I forgot to explore?
It is exactly Castlevania's map. So
yeah.
It is exactly that same style where you know where something is a dead end because it has solid lines around the whole thing. And you know if there was a way you could have gone because there'd be an empty line on that side. So yeah, that's exactly how I managed to get out of the hole I was in. I was, you know, checking every area and trying to figure out where I went wrong. And I was like, oh, I need to go way back. Like I've hit a dead end here. I don't have the skills to get past the next portion. So
yeah, me too. And it's frustrating because like when I said that I hadn't even heard of this game or this company before, nobody's like talking about this game.
Yeah.
Like, and this as somebody who like hears about Souls-likes, you know, like when they come out, like people bring them to our attention all the time. I hear about all of them, but no one has brought this up to me other than Brian Wade.
Yeah.
Which is so weird to me because it's so good.
It's really good. And you know, it has a decent number of reviews. It has 610 on Steam, but that's not very many. And this game should have a much bigger audience.
I think so too. I don't know if it's like a marketing thing, but I want to start like telling like, you know, the like YouTubers and stuff I know that cover Souls-like, be like, hey, give this a shot, man. Like I was thinking about pretty relatively early on, you get an air dash.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fun to use.
Yeah,
and
I
was
that one now.
I was thinking about like how this game would probably be a really good speed run.
Yeah,
you have so much mobility.
Hello, next duck stream.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Or like even just like, hey, Lobos. Psst, you know, like try this.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. It actually is on the next SGDQ that's coming up in July.
And that's fantastic.
It's like, they're doing a one-handed insane mode any percent run.
Oh geez.
That takes 40 minutes to do.
I would watch just a regular run of it as well, but yeah. I'll watch a one-handed run. That sounds difficult.
But hey, hopefully it brings some more audience to it at least, because it definitely needs all the exposure it can get.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I have a lot of affection for these guys. I realized when I was kind of talking sugar about this on Twitter, and somebody brought this up to me because they had mentioned the developer to me before, but I had forgotten because I didn't have any context. Apparently this developer, and I'm not saying this, you know, to throw shade at them, but they were saying how they thought Shovel Knight looked amateurish.
Okay.
Which is like, nah, that's not true. Shovel Knight is beautiful. Like you guys both make beautiful games. Stop fighting.
Yeah. Shovel Knight does is stick to an NES palette. That's the only thing it does. Like, it's and really
it, and,
good.
And it looks great. You know. Yeah. So it's like and Shovel Knight's one of my favorite games.
It's so good.
Yeah. But this is also really excellent.
Yeah.
So it is. And also really similarly well art directed, with one exception that we'll talk about in the spoiler section.
Yeah. Mom and Dad, don't fight, please.
Exactly. don't get pixel art divorced. guys, but yeah, this is the really strong recommendation. I'm going to a lot of times for the show I'll play a couple hours enough to get something and then not be able to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I want to, like there'll be games like I liked enough to where I'm like I I'll probably keep playing that, and then it just doesn't happen because this may surprise people who listen to this, but like I have to play a lot of games for shows. So things like you know, like I didn't hate, I had problems with it, but I like Dark Mouse enough to where I want to see what it does.
Right.
I haven't touched it since we did the episode.
No, I'm not going to.
And yeah, I don't think I will, just because I like it, but I, you know, my time is really limited.
Right.
This is something that like I'm definitely going to play more of.
I think so too.
It's also 8 hours. Like what a good length for like a Souls like
super good
game. Yeah. Like being halfway, when I found out I was halfway through it, that was just like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like that.
It's even a good length for a Metroidvania. Like Metroidvanias like to go way too long sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Symphony of the Night, which is one of my favorite games, like it's fantastic, but it is very long.
Yeah.
You know, and it is there's a lot to explore, but like I didn't realize in this game that the map had a percentage until pretty late. And I looked at it and it kind of has a zero there. There's like, it's hard to see the decimal point. And I'm like, am I 53% through the map or 0.53% of the map? Uh-oh. And just had this like real like, oh Jesus. But then I looked it up. I'm like, no, I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
Like there are like seven areas.
Yeah. There's not very many. I think there's like six bosses and then the final boss or something. And yeah. There's like an optional boss in there somewhere. So there's
multiple optional bosses I found.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. I really, really like it. And in some ways, despite myself, one thing that would have happened to me if I just came across this in the wild is I would have been super turned off by how anime it is. And this is like the most anime thing I really like because it's anime as fuck.
It is pretty anime.
Yeah, but it's still great. Like it is a good example. It's anime used for good.
Yeah, it's anime on the good side.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to talk more about where we're at in the game and stuff?
Sure. Do you want to, should we fit that into spoiler section just to be safe?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, just in case anyone's going to, because mostly because it's such a strong recommendation.
Absolutely. So. Okay. So let's get into a little bit of admin stuff real quick. You know, if you like the show, if you want to support us, we have a Patreon running at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. And there you can help us and everyone else on the Duckfeed Network, all the cool shows we do, and get some great rewards on top of it.
Yeah, it's really appreciated. If you like the show, please leave us a rating and review on mm-hmm. iTunes. It's been a little while since we've got one, and that helps us move up in the ranks. One thing we learned when the new Dark Souls game came out for Bonfireside Chat is another thing other than ratings and reviews is just subscriptions. So even if you don't really use iTunes, like if you listen on your computer while like playing a game or something like that, but you use iTunes as your device, throw in a subscription and just never download. you know, if it's easy to do, because that helps us a lot too. That's how things
awesome.
get up in the ranks. So, but yeah, a lot of cool things happening on the network, new shows and stuff. And, that is a direct result of, generosity of people.
Some great new shows. If you haven't listened to Monster My Podcast yet, go for it. It's short, it's sweet. It's really fun.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm glad you like it. Thank you for the, working on the theme song
theme bumper.
Yeah.
And, you can always also come check us out on, twitter.com/comradepodcast or facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. We just reached over 100 followers on both, so thank you guys very much. It's that's huge.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a good place to suggest games. And we're always looking for, you know, this game was something that was totally not on our radar. So suggestions are really welcome.
Absolutely.
Either through those channels or through duckfeed.tv/contact, which is kind of nice because it all goes to the same place then. But any of them are fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's do a little music and then talk about our Momodora memories. So real quick, just to get a tiny amount of poison out, I don't like that you fight a gigantic anime boob lady.
It's like the first boss too, huh?
It's the second boss.
Yeah.
It's really misguided.
Yeah.
Like there's a weird little bit of cheesecake, and that boss that comes up twice, have you run into her again?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, she has a different moveset, but she's like a witch. Like whenever they have a witch, it's this gigantic lady, and she's kind of part of the background. It would be a big impressive sprite if it wasn't boob based.
It's all boob, and that's all you're attacking because that's what's in your immediate space.
It's like a fun fight, but I just don't like that I'm fighting gigantic, you know, fan service.
Yeah.
Other than that, like that is the only thing that doesn't look adorable or creepy or awesome.
Yeah, no, I think the sprites are really good.
Yeah.
There is, I think, one more piece of mechanical shade I'd throw, which is that I, coming into this and realizing how Souls-like it is, mm-hmm. the fact that every boss does contact damage.
Yeah.
That kind of bugged me. I was like, well, shit. Like, I'd much rather dodge through your attacks than you the whole time.
Yeah, the contact damage is inconsistent. Because I've definitely pressed up against a boss and been okay before, too, in the game. So I don't think it's every boss, or it might be just when they're or in a certain phase.
That's not refuting
your claim. I know that it's not consistent.
Well, I'm definitely saying that in particular to a couple bosses that I've been fighting very recently. So
yeah.
It could just be, you know, a couple bosses in particular. But
And their hurt box is not the same as their sprite.
No.
So, like, you can be close, you just can't. And that's an annoying thing, too, because you don't know how close you can get. Like, you can get close, but you can't get too close. But yeah, the other than that, like then that's really the only mechanical thing or visual things I have with it.
Yeah, no, I think it's great pretty much all around.
Yeah. I feel like there's some stuff that you did that I didn't do because I didn't find those piercing arrows.
Where were those? I think I just came across them fairly recently. At a shop. It was at a shop, but it was a shop that was kind of out of the way a little bit. And I don't even know how those shops are stocked. So it could be that there's something depending random on the going order. On? Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, because the shops are weird. And initially, they sell a lot of items that I didn't think I'd wanted because the consumables seem like bad investments. They're not.
No.
Like, that's how I was able to beat. So there's the boss I'm looking online that everyone has the hardest time with his partner. What's her last name?
Partner Fennel.
Yeah, Partner Fennel is like the Ornstein and Samoa of this game as far as like difficulty goes. She's really hard.
Yeah, she's super hard.
And I don't think I would have made it without abusing damage up items.
Yeah, I used one as well to help out there. I only used one right at the very beginning of the fight, but that was the one I was referencing where it was like, oh, I should just be shooting my arrows the entire time she's out of range.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because especially in that second phase, she no longer has that nice window of attack after her sword attack. So
yeah.
She gets that like extra little flip back where she's doing hurt damage again. And it's like, yes. Oh, I have no windows anymore. That was the one place I could hit her.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you can be very conservative, but once she switches into the second phase, which is like really Dark Souls-y, the consequences for failure just get really huge. Like, she just does a lot of damage.
Yeah, for sure.
She also does one of the stats. There's two stats of ailments I found so far. Poison, which does what you think it does. And then Curse, which in this, rather than being an instant kill, is the same thing as a Lloyd's Talisman in Dark Souls. So you cannot heal when you have that on. And that is a big deal in a boss fight. So that's like the number one attack to avoid. And that is how I, you know, when figuring that out, like I need to not be cursed during this.
Right.
Was really huge. But the, she is it's a non-linear boss. Like, you can stumble upon her. You have to do her. She's not optional.
Right. Cause she has one of the pieces.
Yes. You're collecting four things because it's a Souls game.
Right.
there are NPC quest lines too, that I have not totally figured out, but I've seen the like remnants of them and it has that air of like secrecy to it.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on for sure.
Like, I don't know exactly what's going on. You are heading to, there's a queen who has laid a curse on the land and it is extended to your forest where you live. And you're fighting with a maple leaf because it's an anime. And it is, there are NPCs like where I was backtracking, trying to find where to go. Like, I'd find somebody who I found in another area.
Right.
Did you do the boss fight where you fight along with your Solaire buddy?
Yeah, that's the arsonist. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Which one, boy, do I wish I had called Pyromancer's arsonist in Souls of Darkness. That's really, really good. That's a funny joke. But she's an awesome boss fight because you can't do the strategies you've been doing. Like, you have to use ranged.
Yes, for
against
sure.
Her while you have somebody else going through and kind of tanking and stuff.
That's great.
It's a super cool fight and it just comes out of nowhere. It's like, oh, this person who seems like a solid bro is like on my side. It makes the world feel really alive.
And you just fall into that fight.
Yeah.
Like, literally, yeah. I think the only way into it is from the top.
You come in from the top, and then they are already fighting. They explode through the wall,
cool.
The fight's already been going on. The boss has damage done to her already.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's super, super cool, man. Like, it is, and there's nothing like that. That doesn't happen in Dark Souls. Like, I've never seen that in a game where, like, oh, I'm coming across this boss fight already in progress.
Yeah.
It's like you got summoned into it.
It's almost
not
like
the other
that.
Way around.
Yeah, it's almost like that. The closest thing in Souls is the giant fight when you go into the first dream.
Yes.
The last dream, that's where there's that whole war going on and people are getting slammed by this boss, but he doesn't have any damage on him.
He's not part dead.
Right.
In other ways, this game is like made for me. You turn into a really cute kitty cat. when you beat the second version of Boob Witch, you have like a little moment where you die. You have like a scheduled death, like Seath.
Mm-hmm.
And you wake up as a cat in a cage. And your cat form mostly just can go through smaller openings.
Right.
But you still have all the same move set. So if you just want to be like this really cute cat, like,
you can be a cat the whole time?
You can't. You don't have your arrows.
Oh, okay.
You can't use items other than the item that turns you back and forth between a cat and a human.
That's so cool.
But other than that, you can play as a cat like the whole time and it's super adorable. Like, what did I do to deserve like a Dark Souls where you get to be a cat the whole time?
like, that's really good.
Who was I nice to in a past life to like make that happen?
Well, at the very least, you were nice to Brian to show it to you. So
yeah, that's true. Like, all my kindness to Brian Wade has paid off to give him e-cat souls. But yeah, it is that's super cool. There's a lot of really cool set pieces. Like, the levels at first I thought were, cause you're in a forest, it's fine. You're in a city that looks really Bloodborne-y and it looks pretty cool. But then, after you go through the fire area, you end up in this, like an area that's in flooded and all this furniture is floating in the background.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool looking.
Yeah. That's where I'm at right now. I'm up against, Derelict Frida. So
yes. Who is this kind of worm plague doctor looking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really cool looking boss, and also one where it is. I came to it later, so that was after I fought Pardoner. Mm. So maybe I had some upgrades or something. I didn't have a real hard time with it. But it is, it has that Souls thing where, like, I'm sure that once we have both beat this game, there will be bosses that I had a hard time with yep. that you did not.
Yeah.
You know, which is one of my favorite things about Souls is that, like, you can play it a bunch of different ways, and depending on how you play, you know, you're gonna have a harder, easier time.
Absolutely.
With different things. It's awesome. Like, I really want to see what the earlier games in the series are. This is a prequel, so it's not spoiling any plot stuff. I don't feel like I walked halfway through a movie.
No.
You know? Yeah. And it is, I feel like there are a lot of cool secrets that I'm missing with those way those NPC plot lines kind of progress, things like that.
Yeah, and there's just, like, secrets where you're just, like, hitting a wall in the right spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got it yet, but there's an item that's in one of the shops that it just vibrates your controller and makes a sound when you're in a room that has an yes. undiscovered secret.
Yeah, I got that nice. Guy. Yeah,
and I've come across a room that vibrated on me, and I have no idea. Like, I checked every wall. I have no idea where the secret is.
The some of the walls don't disappear like illusory walls. Some of them you can just walk through. Check the like high parts of the wall, try to air dash into them.
Okay.
Because you get these, there's these little collectibles, these silver bugs that you meet a merchant later who gives you money for them.
Nice.
But I'm sure you get something if you get all of them. It says like one of 20
right
when you pick them up. So they're just little findables, but they have a mechanical benefit as well.
Yeah, I need to find the time to 100% this thing.
Yeah, me too. I really want to see. I was looking at a list of items when I was trying to figure out where to go, and there's a lot of stuff. If you perfect a boss, if you don't get hit, they drop their weapon.
That's cool.
Which I don't know how that works exactly.
What?
I haven't done, I don't want to spoil it for myself, so I haven't done a thorough examination of that. I've seen multiple references to it, though, in Steam guides.
Nice.
So if I have a minor detail about that wrong, don't. You know, nitpick me, but the there are references to a boss dropping their item if you don't get hit during the fight. So, and I thought I fought the person you fought without getting hit, but they didn't drop anything, so maybe I got hit once or twice.
Right.
But it is it's really, really good. I really, really like it. I'm looking forward to playing more of it.
I'm looking forward to that run. I want to see the speed run of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'll be great. I hope they don't like slot it at like 3 a.m.
Oh yeah, I should check.
I mean, if they do, I'll watch it on YouTube later. But it would be really cool if it was a time when we could get together with the group.
Yeah, it's on a weekday. It's on a Tuesday, but it is. You know what? We could watch it like before RPG night because it's on Tuesday at 6 p.m. or just great. Before.
Yeah, we can make that work. Yeah, I'm into it.
So. Me too.
I think that's probably about it. Like, really high recommendation. I really want to play more. I was hoping to have it beat by the time we recorded, but it just didn't work out that way. But I didn't want to stop playing to start recording. So,
I just had my head up against the boss, so I had to take a break and happened to be recording time.
It's that Souls thing where it's like, if you're having a hard time, walk away for a little bit.
For sure.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.